I'm Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you with joy on this day to this broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
And I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us today. We pray that today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks will be a half hour of hope for your life.
And we pray that hope is your vision today. And you've listened to us so many times, perhaps on Front Porch Talks, say this, but I want to repeat it. Hope has a name, and that name is Jesus Christ. So when I say that I pray that you have a vision of hope today, I pray that you have a vision of Him, that your faith is able to see the Lord and to know that He is your vision, your guide, your way forward, and your very present hope and help. Whether you're in time of triumph or time of trouble, we pray that you have hope in the name of Jesus. Today we're going to look at one of the Psalms of the Old Testament. We love the Psalms. Often I find myself praying the Psalms, actually. It seems like the psalmist has been reading my mail, so to speak. Seems like he knows what's going on in my life. Often when I read the Psalms and pray the Psalms, it is as if the Psalms are coming straight from the depths of my soul. Now, today is no different. I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 96, and then we're going to talk a little bit about those verses, and then I'll go and get one more verse in Psalm 96, and we'll kind of conclude with that. So today I'm reading from Psalm 96, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. And today I want to talk about the three dimensions of holiness. Now, holiness is a word that a lot of people sort of shudder when they hear it, but it's only because we haven't understood the word. When I say holiness, I want you to know that I'm not saying self-righteousness. When I say holiness, I'm really talking about the splendor of God, the glory of God, the atmosphere of heaven that will be holiness. And holiness is the breath that we breathe if we are true believers of Jesus Christ. So we'll talk from Psalm 96 about the three dimensions of holiness. But let me read the first six verses first. I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Holy Word of God. Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Now, before we dive into the deep end of the pool and we talk about the three dimensions of holiness, I want us to break some of these verses down that we just talked about. The psalmist seemed to be carried away with the all-inspiring thought of the greatness of God, the grandeur of God, the majesty of God. Sometimes I fear in our day and time that we've sort of lost that greatness of God, that grandeur of God, that splendor of God. And perhaps today, with the help of the Lord, we will bring some of that back into our minds, into our hearts, into our lives. In verse 2, the psalmist talks about God's name. He says, sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Grayson, what do you suppose the psalmist was getting at when he spoke those first seven words of Psalm 96? Sing to the Lord, bless His name.
I think it's telling us to give glory to God, to give Him thanks, to give Him praise, and that when we sing praises, to do it to His name, and just not to take for granted the things He's done for us, just to recognize Him, what He's done for us, and His greatness.
Exactly. I remember an old chorus we used to sing in the local church, old but still very beautiful and very familiar. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continuously be in my mouth. Now that's taken from another place in the Psalms, but when I heard this verse, sing to the Lord, bless His name, I thought of that idea of just praising God, that His name is always on our lips, in our mouth, that we are always speaking of Him. And I pray that we will bless the Lord at all times, because He is worthy in His greatness, in His grandeur, in His splendor. He is worthy to be sung about, and He is worthy to be blessed. His name is a blessing to us. So let us speak blessing to the name of the Lord. Also in verse 2, the psalmist talks about God's salvation. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Now, Grayson, when you think of the word salvation, what kind of thoughts conjure up in your mind when you think of that theological word, salvation, and you put it in context, as the psalmist has here, proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day?
Well, we're thanking Him for giving us salvation through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, which it makes it possible for us to have eternal life and to have forgiveness of our sins.
Exactly. And salvation is good news for us because we cannot save ourselves. And that's why we should proclaim the good news, the gospel, of God's salvation from day to day. We think of John 3:16, I am sure, whenever we think about salvation. John 3:16, that beloved scripture, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him shall not perish, will not perish, but will have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through His Son. That's verse 17, of course, that I added. And saving is salvation. And so we surely should take the direction of the psalmist, proclaim the good news of God's salvation from day to day. So we have seen so far the greatness of God, the grandeur of God, the splendor of God in His name and in His salvation. But the psalmist doesn't end there. He goes in verse 3, and these are the words, declare His glory among the nations. His glory. Now that's a word we don't use a lot, glory. But that is another word for holiness. Glory means the countenance of God. It gives us verbiage or even an adjective to understand who God is. Glorious God, we say sometimes as an adjective. He is glorious. He is full of glory. And the word glory is often used in the vocabulary of kingship. You know, when we think about monarchs and the glory and the splendor of the monarch or the monarchy, when we have these governments around the world that are kings and queens and all of that. So glory has this idea of brilliance. It has this idea of lasting. Grayson, I don't know if you really have thoughts when you think of the word glory, but when you hear us say this, declare His glory among the nations, what might be another way, maybe even a more contemporary way, to proclaim God's glory among the nations?
Well, we should proclaim His goodness to those around us, proclaim His power and His majesty, all that He does for us, all that He's done for us. We should proclaim that to others, let others know just how good God is and what He's done for us.
Exactly, Grayson. And I hear this saying every once in a while, let's make Jesus famous again. Well, He is famous. And maybe when we hear the word glory, we want to remind people of the glory of God, the fame of God, the idea that He is famous for a reason. And that is that He is the King of glory. And He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. We read this in Scripture as well. And the psalmist went to make sure that we would declare His glory among the nations. As we think on the greatness and the grandeur and the splendor of God, we cannot leave out the word glory. And wherever we go, we should proclaim, we should tell the story, as Grayson said, of the goodness and the power of our God. Also in verse 3, we read these words, His wonders among all peoples. In other words, declare His glory among the nations and his wonders among all people. Grayson, when you hear the word wonders, what might come to your mind about how God is wonderful? What are the wonders of God?
And some translations use other words like miracles, it says in some translations. So when I think about his wonders or his miracles, you should proclaim to the nations, I said, about his goodness and all the things that he's done for us. Well, another way of saying that is proclaim the miracles that he's done for us in our lives and is currently doing, and the things that he wants to do in their lives also.
Exactly, Grayson. I think the song Amazing Grace would kind of fit in this idea of the wonders of God. And Grayson's talking about how other verbiage from other translations of the Bible speak to us and teach us. I know that one version of the Bible says, tell everything about the amazing things God does. So he's not just a God in name, he's a God in action. And he does surely bring about wonders, things we can't explain, we can't contain, things we can't understand but are undeniable. And we want to be found doing this, as the psalmist tells us, telling everyone about the amazing things our God does, to give testimony so that others may come and also experience his wonders, yes, even his miracles. We go to verse 5. We'll skip verse 4 because it's kind of just talking about praising God, and I'm trying to give some of these ideas of the greatness, the grandeur, and the splendor of God, so we don't skip it because it's not important. So I want to read verse 4, but then make commentary at verse 5. Verse 4, Psalm 96. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. I will say this idea about feared, it really has the idea of revered. In other words, reverenced. God will be reverenced. And then we come to verse 5, and in the greatness and the grandeur and the splendor of God again, the psalmist talks about his power. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Now that's power. He is the creator God. He put the power behind making everything we see. And so, Grayson, when you think of this idea of idols who have no power, and they are compared to a God of all power who made the heavens, what kind of contrast does that bring up in your thoughts?
Well, it just lets us know that God is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that he really is the all-powerful one. And that is something we should proclaim to those around us. And that's why we have, as you mentioned in verse 4 about reverence, that's why we have respect for him, is because of his great power.
Exactly. He is great and greatly to be praised. We move on to verse 6, still talking about the greatness, the grandeur, the splendor of God. And we read about his sanctuary. Verse 6, Psalm 96, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. His sanctuary, wow, it's where God lives, the sense of where God exists. And when you think about his sanctuary, Grayson, and the honor and majesty that goes before him, and the strength and the beauty that comes with him, what do you think about when you think about the word sanctuary or the sanctuary of God?
Well, when I think about sanctuaries of him, I think about how we as Christians should want to be his sanctuaries, and we should want that splendor and that majesty to show through our lives as Christians to those around us. And it says that splendor and majesty is in his presence in some translations. So we should want that splendor and that majesty of our Lord to shine through us as sanctuaries to those around us.
Exactly, Grayson. And this is a beautiful, beautiful context that we find in this psalm. And that's just sort of the introduction. The psalmist seeming to be carried away with the all-inspiring thought of the greatness of God. He talked about his name, he talked about his salvation, his glory, his wonder, his power, and his sanctuary. Now we want to move into this idea of the three dimensions of holiness. First of all, we want to read another verse of Scripture. I'm going to read Psalm 96 and verse 9. I'm going to skip down to verse 9 because in this context, we find the three dimensions of the holiness of God. Psalm 96 and verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Now, here are the three dimensions of holiness. I'm going to give them to you, and then we're going to talk about each one for just a little. First of all, we have the dimension called worship the Lord. The second dimension is in the beauty of holiness. The third dimension is this: tremble before Him, all the earth. So let me repeat them just so we can have them in our minds. The first dimension of God's holiness, worship the Lord. The second dimension, in the beauty of holiness. The third dimension, tremble before Him, all the earth. Now, Grayson, let's talk a little bit about the height of holiness. This is worship the Lord. This is one of the dimensions, the height. And then we'll go to the depth and then to the breadth of His holiness. The height of His holiness is worship the Lord. First of all, worship is an attitude. Grayson, wouldn't you agree that when we come to worship, it's not just a verb, but it also is an attitude?
Yes, Dad. I think that no matter what our circumstances are, or no matter what we're going through, we should always want to worship God and always seek to worship God. And worship can have different forms and take on different shapes, just depending on where we're at. And we can worship Him in song. We can worship Him in quietness and prayer by thanking Him for all the things He's done for us, by thanking Him for His creation, by taking in His creation. There's just different forms, many different forms of worshiping Him, and it's really just praising Him and giving Him thanks for all He's done.
Exactly. It is an attitude of our heart, worship. Second of all, worship is a condition of the heart. Not just an attitude, but a condition. Grayson, I don't think it's possible to truly worship the Lord unless our heart has been conditioned by His Holy Spirit. So when you think about this idea of worshiping the Lord, it's not just something we do. It's who we are. And what would you like to speak just a few words about the condition of the heart when we come to worship God?
Yeah, Dad, certainly our attitude has to be right when we worship Him. Certainly we want to worship Him not just to worship Him, just to check it off, but we want to wholeheartedly worship Him and really mean it and do it with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul, and really mean our worship, give Him our best in our worship when we do it with gladness, so to speak.
Yes, it's been said that worship is not an art form so much as it is a heart form. And we want our hearts formed, yes, conditioned, to worship the Lord at the very height of holiness. A third idea is that we worship with a quality of spirit. I remember when Jesus met the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He said, the Father is looking for worshipers who worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, Grayson, I think we're saying more of the same, but do you have something else to say or some other commentary to add about the quality of spirit when we come to worship God, that it should be in spirit and in truth?
Yes, I think we should worship Him, you know, in our mind and our heart, but also in our actions and the words we speak and all we do, we should worship Him.
A fourth idea in this height of holiness, worship the Lord, is that we are to worship the Lord with a depth of character. So the way that we live our lives matters when it comes to worshiping God, Grayson. And it's been said that, you know, who we are in private really explains our character. So what would you like to say about the depth of character and the importance of character when it comes to the height of holiness?
Well, I know in the Bible there's many places where it talks about how we praise Him, you know, with our lips, but then with our actions, we don't obey His commandments. And so we're not really worshiping Him if we don't obey Him. So our actions got to back up our words, so to speak.
Exactly. And character is really in place in that description. A fifth idea in the height of holiness, worship the Lord, We are to worship Him and let it become a holy habit in our lives. Now, habits can be good or bad. Habits are good if we are continuously making it an essential part of our lives to worship the Lord. So, Grayson, would you agree that worshiping the Lord is a good habit, a holy habit?
Yes, worshiping Him is certainly something that we should do on a consistent basis and something that we should make time to do, whether it be quiet time in prayer and reflection or in devotion or whatever it is God is speaking to us to do. Certainly we should take time to worship Him and give Him thanks for all that He's done for us.
Yes, Grayson. To be very, very mindful and grateful. A sixth idea in this first dimension of worship: we are to worship as an expression of our love. How important do you think it is that we bring love into the worship of God?
I think it's very important. The Bible says, without love, we are nothing. It talks about how faith, hope, and love are the greatest, and the greatest of those is love. So if we don't show love, then pretty much our actions and our words are dead. If we don't show love, in particular, if we don't show love to other people, then it's hard for us to love God without loving those who He loves and He created.
Good word, good word. Also, the idea in this first dimension of worship is it's an act of communion. When we worship with God, we fellowship with God. You know, it's not just holy communion that we share at the Lord's table. That certainly is a part of it and one offshoot of worship. But we have communion that is constant with Him, fellowship that never ends. And so, Grayson, talk a little bit about how our whole life, day by day, even moment by moment, is an act of communion with God, fellowship with Him.
Well, any time we spend with Him should be sacred, should not be taken for granted, and we should realize that He's with us every minute of every day, and we should recognize His presence in our lives and everything that we do. And in that way, we are having communion with Him. We're having fellowship with Him, just talking to Him throughout our day.
Exactly. So worship is an act of knowing God. And finally, the eighth idea in this first dimension of holiness, the height of holiness, worship in the Lord. Worship is a confession of submission. In other words, when we worship God, we confess that we are yielded to His plan, to His ways, and to Him as Lord of our lives. So when you think of this idea, Grayson, of worship as a confession of submission or surrender to God, how do you kind of work that out in your life?
Well, I think first and foremost, we have to surrender our life, surrender our will, surrender everything to Him, and give Him control of our lives. And that's an act of worship, is surrender.
Exactly, Grayson. Surrender is a beautiful, beautiful verb. It doesn't get a lot of credibility in the world, but in the kingdom, surrendering to God, that is a huge part of worship. Oh, worship the Lord. Oh, worship the Lord. This is truly the first dimension of holiness. Now, we want to have a little bit of time during this broadcast to actually worship. We've been talking about the three dimensions of holiness, and we introduced it with the psalmist giving us the greatness and the grandeur and the splendor of God through His name, through His salvation, through His glory, through His wonder, through His power, and through His sanctuary. And we took the first dimension of the three dimensions, the height of holiness, worship the Lord, and we talked about these eight ideas. Worship is an attitude. Worship is a condition of the heart. Worship is a quality of spirit. Worship is a depth of character. Worship is a habit of life. Worship is an expression of love. Worship is an act of communion. And worship is a confession of submission. So until our next broadcast, when we will continue these thoughts from Psalm 96, I'd like to leave you with this verse once again, Psalm 96, verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him. Tremble before Him. All the earth. That is Psalm 96, verse 9. Now we'll have some worship music. Please turn your heart toward worship. We pray that today's broadcast has been a half hour of hope for your life. And we bid you with an invitation of gratitude to join us for the next session of Front Porch Talks, when we'll cover the final two dimensions of God's holiness. Until then, God bless.
The song that we have for you today is Brian Arner singing, "Here I Am to Worship."
Light of the world, you step down into darkness, opened my eyes and made me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, the hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether. So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. So here I am to worship, and here I am to bow down, and here altogether loving, altogether worthy, and altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never comprehend how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.